worshiping the same God this morning as you worshiped last Sunday? Do you still have the same confidence today in the God that you worshiped last Sunday? God is heavy on my spirit again. God's encouraged you to trust Him. It's easy to trust God when things are going pretty good, right? The rent's due Friday, you already got the money in your pocket on Tuesday, okay? But it's Thursday night when the rent's due in 8 hours, okay, God. Faith. But just to trust God in the ways that you think things will go, and then grab it back up in your hands when it doesn't go the way you want. We have to trust God. Don't know how He's going to do it. I've testified that many times the last several weeks. You all heard me tell Him. I tell God how to do things. He never listens to me. And I'm glad He doesn't, because in the middle of what's going on here is I find more of God. I find more of Him. I start understanding more of His ways. Trusting God and knowing Him, and again, God's desire that no man would perish. No man. Now, I know we can classify people. Any of the guys are okay, but he's here, they can go to hell. You know, mankind, but that's not God. You ever have a child rebel against you? Amen. I heard a big amen on that one. Okay. Or maybe you were a child yourself and you rebelled against your parents. Do they not still love you? Care for you? They want the best for you? Now, your rebellious state, man, you might have lost out a lot of good blessings. But you didn't change your heart. And maybe if you have a child like that and somebody comes to you, man, just write them off. Come on, spend your time over here. You couldn't do it, could you? No. Folks, our heart has to be that way. That's God's heart. When we see people in sin, we see evilness. We hate evil. But folks, we need to love the ones committing the evil. Because in the eyes of God, at one time, we were all, I mean, even today, our righteousness like filthy rags about Jesus. Amen? So we all was evil in the eyes of God. And here you are today. Anybody here think that America is in church on a Sunday? Me? I remember Sunday mornings, the wife and the kids going to church. And I'm at the local bar. I had church at VFW. A short one. There's people today saying, what? That old cop's a preacher now? They can't believe it. They don't have to. I mean, that's God. So our heart has to stay towards those that we see doing evil, to have a heart for God to pray for them. And I know last Sunday, sitting here, and that was what? I don't remember the date now, but it was before the 20th, right? 17th. How many of us, you turn the light up for me, how many of us had different ways how last week's going to play out? How many of us had, tanks, we had machine guns, we had the Royal Rangers, we had the Marine Corps, we had the Capitol building surrender, we just, any time now. I mean, I can remember coming into church on Tuesday, coming in here, And someone, for a joke, I'm not sure what, but I'm climbing the hill above Mary Stuckem's up there on the top, and we get a emergency alert system. Beep, beep, and it's just a test. Oh, my. See, we were ready for things to take place, what God said will take place. Now, God's not a liar, correct? His timing's perfect. And when the 20th came and the 20th went, I said, well, God, you're not going to do the plan I gave you. Let's do it this way, Lord. Okay. How many today can say that, man, there's more evil and corruption, not just in the United States, but in this world, than you ever thought of? That it went so deep. How much stuff has been exposed to us? Wow. I mean, isn't it amazing? Never thought. But today we go back and we look, we think, okay, now listen. Preacher's been in the pulpit. Christians have been quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14. Did he not say we turn from our filthy ways, seek him, repent, that he would heal our land? Now that was God's word we stand on last week, right? He's going to heal us. I'm telling you what. It's the same God that we're staying on the word today. We had prophets speaking out last year and even years before of Donald Trump being the president. And please, this is a political speech, so just hear me out before you walk out the door. I mean, something takes really, but this is really what God is. I'm not campaigning. I'm trying to show you what He wants us to do as Christians. Amen? Okay. And we had, we'll serve two terms. We've heard that he'll be elected president for a second term. Anybody hear all that? I mean, studying, praying, okay. How many were praying for the election that we have godly leaders or people be used by God in power? Amen. We all have been, okay? Amen. Okay. But as we continued to pray, we started seeing more and more corruption being revealed to us. I personally seen people that I thought would never waver, and I don't know how they got a hold of, who reached out to them. But man, they turned their back on what I believe is what God wanted to do. But then I look at it now, and they're doing exactly what God wants to do. And what we need to do is keep our eyes focused on the Word of God. Don't waver. Don't let your heart turn cold. You know, don't grab pitchforks and all them things and take off. Listen, it's not the time to do that. Listen to what God says. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit says I will. Amen? It's His Spirit. Who changed your heart? The Spirit of the living God. Who can change your enemy's heart? The Spirit of the living God. Doesn't He say that He has the hearts of the kings in His hands? Amen. So we have to remember that we have to fight this place. Okay, don't take it back in your own hands. Listen today, listen to me. If you want to rise up today and grab your weapons and go to the Capitol building, you'll be destroyed. Amen. You don't have the power to fight in the physical what's taking place in this country. Because you're not fighting this country. You're fighting the establishment of evil that's around the world. You want to take on China? Iran? You want to take on the nukes? Grab them weapons, boys, and head down the Capitol building and surround it, and we're going to take it over, and you'll be wiped out.
Amen.
I know how you feel. Men, especially men, veterans, retirees, we want to take it how we know how to handle it, right? But we got to trust God in this. And pray. I mean, look at this. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll ask you the question. In the last 4 years, how many can tell me in here that you took days and you fasted and you prayed for Joe Biden? That you fasted and you prayed for Nancy Pelosi? That you prayed for Schumer? Can anyone tell me here that you did that to change their hearts, save them from the pits of hell? No. What do we focus on? Listen, guys. We, pray for Donald Trump, didn't we? Keep Donald Trump in there. Keep my investments going well in the banks, you know. And I can come to church and worship, and I can do whatever I want to do. Yes. Wow. But I think somewhere in your Bible you find out he says to pray for those who are in authority over you. Well, we're not interceding, I believe. We allowed this thing to fester. Now, boom. Now God said, okay, now you're going to pray? Now, I'm not saying praying for a nuclear bomb to drop on the White House. No. Please remember this. I mean, Joe and Nancy, they're all somebody's little boy and girl. And through life, they got wrapped up in some stuff. Some evil stuff got a hold of them. Somehow they compromised. But actually today, have you ever compromised? Have you ever compromised? You know you shouldn't do that, you're going to do it anyway. Next thing you know, you find yourself all tangled up. You might even find yourself embarrassed. What am I going to do now? I can't explain this. How do you explain it? Hey, I've sinned. Nancy, can I talk about you for a minute? Can I talk about you? Last Sunday, our dear sister here testified on the way to church. She got stopped on 2nd Street by our local deputies, and she got a speeding ticket for coming to church. Not just a speeding ticket, you got a ticket. Must appear. 63-35. Amen? But yeah, go ahead.
45, I checked it this morning.
It was a 45 speed limit? Okay. The judge ain't 30 in jail, so we just won't leave it. Okay. But I'm going to tell you what I love about my sister. I met her in court Thursday. And I retired cops, I know a lot of folks. And we went up to the table, sat there, and the judge read all the stuff out to her. How do you plead, Nancy? Guilty. Know what she said? Yeah, judge, I know I sinned. I'm supposed to obey the laws, and I didn't do that. Forgive me. Exactly what God wants us to do. And you made the judge smile. That's hard to do. I'm so proud of you, Nancy. I mean, we all can sin, right? I mean, she was coming to church, I mean, praising the Lord and just boop. But the knowledge, okay, hey, listen, yeah, I messed up. Okay. He still gave you a fine, didn't he? But, you know, he still. But just acknowledge it. And I went with her, so well, I'm not speaking about her. I'm just speaking with her, okay?
I had a notion to say, would you take $50 left?
Would you take $50 left? Yeah. It could have been a durable sense of offense, so we'll leave that alone. Yeah, but just bless me. You were not afraid to acknowledge to the judge that yes, you're a Christian, you believe in the Lord, you've gone to church, but yeah, I sinned. I know. Amen. But you know, God forgave you. Amen. And to testify, I mean, you could have every excuse in the book, but and just the peace in that courtroom. I am so proud of you. I really am.
He got tired. That's not where I said I was chronologically in here.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You have excuse for what you've done? Well, I'm chronological enhanced. Otherwise, she had to say that twice and he started laughing, saying, okay, I'm kind of old is what you're saying. Yeah. But see, to acknowledge it. To acknowledge it, man. Boom. So, we all can get wrapped up in something not wanting to. But our hearts in these days have to be for the hearts of those who come to know Jesus. And yeah, I go back, and we know that what we should have been doing, I mean, throughout the last 4 years, we've had fasts, we've called for and prayed. We pray for Nancy, we pray for them during the service and stuff. But now they're on the top. What broke my heart was on the 20th, by a stroke of a pen, the rights we were standing for unborn babies, Abortion brought by Ken. Stroke of a pen. Guys who go to school who think they're ladies can go to the women's restroom now and look at your little girls. Look at all this stuff going on. The stroke of a pen. It's not over, guys. Understand. Did he not say he would heal your land? Are you following him? Or are you still in a repentant state? Or is repentance just a couple of words and we go back and do what we want to do? See, now again, this is what me and God have been talking about. I'll bring it out. Don't throw stuff at me. And it's not a political statement, but this is truly me. When I talk about Mr. Biden today, I talk about Mr. Biden. And listen, please, don't throw stuff. I don't recognize him as my President of the United States of America. I don't. Why don't you do that, Pastor? Because my God told me that Donald Trump would win the presidency, and he won it by a landslide. Mr. Biden is in the office now because of corruption. I am not saying that Mr. Biden is corrupt. Listen to me now. My heart is heavy for him because I see a lot of maybe issues going on with his mentality, okay? But it was evil and corruption that put him in the White House. And I said it'd be like this way. I'm at home today. Ryan's not going to be my son for a minute. He's going to be somebody down the road, okay? I'm in my house that I own. I got a deed to my property. I'm sitting there. Next thing I know, the door kicks open. Here he comes. Whoa! Boom, boom. He grabs me, puts me in my house, grabs my deed in my house, and he writes his name on it. Now, is he the owner of my house now? No. I still own it. Do you think I'd run out of the house saying, oh man, that's Ryan Lawrence's place? No. You know what I'd do? If he took over my house and here I am inside the house, I do what God tells me to do. You know what that is? Pray for those in authority over you. Well, how could you pray for a guy who just took over your house? I'm going to pray, don't kill me. I'm going to pray that his heart is soft. I'm going to pray that his eyes would be open to see what he just did. I'm going to pray that he's going to come to his senses. And also, I'm going to pray that the SWAT team gets there also, okay? That's a physical aspect of it, but it's in the spiritual. So today, when I look at our country, I pray for Mr. Biden's eyes to be open. We have a few folks in the top branches now of our government confess to be Catholics. Okay? So, as being Catholic, or any denomination, they've heard the Word of God somewhere. I pray that the light comes on. That what they've heard will now bring an understanding to them. I pray that their eyes will be open to see. But what I am waiting for myself is a God factor. We cannot destroy this evil in the flesh and blood. It's the spirit. We talked about the Red Sea earlier. I believe you had a word about the Red Sea. Moses raised his staff. Everybody familiar with the Exodus? The plagues? Okay. Can you imagine this is the day that the plague just happened, the firstborn, and Pharaoh said, all right, get your people and get out of here. Woo-hoo! Set free, man, set free. They started to leave and they thought, wait a second. Look at all the stuff they put us through. Making them bricks and no straw. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to wipe them out before we leave. Couldn't you imagine 2 or 3 million Israelites taking on Pharaoh with all his power he has in the physical? They've been wiped out. See what would have happened? God said, I will deliver you. Trust me, I'll send you Moses. He did all this stuff. Showed his great power and might to his own people, at the same time to his enemy. What more do they need? But they would say, okay, now we're set free. Now we're free people now. They've been wiped out. They would remove God from the equation. Who was it that brought them that far to that day? Who brought them to the point where Pharaoh said, okay, go, get out of here? Was it not God? Didn't God hear the cries of his people? Now some of them those days said, man, we should hurry up. Why 10 plagues? Why not the 3? But they hung in there. And let God be God. So, they're released. And they headed to the promised land. Pharaoh's back here. He's whipped. God's defeated him. The Israelites are headed free. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, it's cool. I can't wait to get there. Big grapes, bananas. But they come across this thing called the Red Sea. Wow. Oh, Bruce could go fishing for a while. You know what I'm saying? Wait, what's that noise? Oh, my lands. Pharaoh's coming. He's bringing all his people with us. We're going to be destroyed. Why didn't we... Moses, why didn't we just stay there? At least back there we had a place to eat and sleep, right? Amen? We had shelter. Oh! And my question is, were they asking God for food and shelter? Or were they asking for freedom? Set free to worship God. Look how quick a Red Sea. Because see, back here, Pharaoh, he did what he's going to do, turn them loose. But then what takes place? Probably pride. He's Pharaoh. And he just allowed a bunch of defenseless Israelites, Jews, to leave his power. So, if you look over this way and see all the other countries at this time, that Pharaoh threatens, scares, because of the power. But look, them little Jews, they defeated Pharaoh. To me, that's what's going on in his head. Wait, what have I done? Get the chariots. Come on. Let's go get them. Boom, 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 boom. And folks, this is a God factor. They're looking at the sea. Thank God that Moses didn't run, throw down the staff. Look at other guys. I didn't hear something right. I mean, Moses knew God brought him there. And what God told him to do? Raise your staff. And the sea parted. Now, I admit, it was probably kind of scary when they were standing there, they hear the troops coming. Okay, God, you said this, you said this. But did not God deliver them? Did God keep his word? Is that the same God we worship today? God's heart and his desire that no one would perish. Can the Israelites take any credit for parting the Red Sea? Can Moses really, can he take any credit for it? Who gets the credit? Did they make it across that barrier? Then what happened? Did God not have the enemies of Israel in the bottom of that Red Sea? And did he wipe them out? Now I ask you, did he close the Red Sea up when the first horse came there? Boom, boom, boom. No. All the enemies. I can imagine being on the far side of the Red Sea on the bank looking back. My lands are still coming. I had no idea Pharaoh's army is so big. Look at all them chariots. Can you guys see them? I can in my mind. I'm sorry. I mean, thousands and thousands of them. I might have been on the bank looking, oh my. Right, you see, look what God delivered us from. I had no idea. I thought there was just a few of them that threatened us. Woo, I seen all that. I probably never took a stand in the first place. But look what God did. And folks, we're getting close to that bank. And we're looking back, and we're, oh, my lands. I had no idea how many enemies we had. Look at the corruption. And God said, hey, listen. Trust in me. I don't want to make you just feel better. I want to deliver you. And we'll do that. It'll be done in such a way, a powerful way, there will be no credit to you or me. If there's any credit at all given to us, it'll just be the faith that we kept. But to God. Can you imagine? After the Red Sea came back together and they got pushed away. Can you imagine all the other countries that was talking earlier about Pharaoh? Oh, them little Jews. He set them free. Hey, don't mess with them. You don't want to tangle with their God. Amen. And the freedom they had, then what happened to them? They started fighting among themselves, did they not? I pray that we learn from that. As God brings us through this Red Sea, we're on the bank, and the enemy is silence. That we don't start fighting among ourselves. One thing that's happened the last several months is those believers who might have differences in some type of doctrine. I'm not talking about difference in the blood of Jesus. But, ELE Bruce, you don't have a tie on today. See, we let that separate us at one time. Not us. I mean the church. You don't dress the way I do, man. And I think we got to the point now, we don't care what we're dressed like, we can come together again, amen? And bringing people, it's no longer a denominational fight for those who stand upon the blood of Jesus. I've never compromised the blood of Jesus. If you have a church that speaks against the blood of Christ and other ways of heaven, they're not part of the body of Christ. Amen. Pray for them. Amen. But that's what we'll. It's not about us. Are you saying earlier? The name on the roll. My name's on the roll. Yeah. Rock. Name on the roll. So if you're here today and you're born again, your name is already written here. On the roll. But down here, the little baby's being born today. But someday they'll have to make a decision for Jesus. So we have to think about them. We have to keep the freedom to worship God alive. And pray for those who oppose that. The Bible tells us that when the evil is put in charge, it allows for God's wrath to come. He will judge a nation. That judgment will fall upon us. But as those, I believe that judgment will be the same as it was in Egypt. It fell upon those who opposed God. The Israelites, you didn't see the flies come on them. The frogs that came over. You didn't see the boils. But our heart, and folks, we have to work hard on this, I know, is not rejoice when our enemy is destroyed. Our heart has to be, oh man. God, I pray that they caught upon your name before they died. There's a lot of Sauls out there right now that can be Pauls. Before prayers. While here today, we're old Sauls, but now we're Pauls. Amen? Amen. And so we cannot let the devil get amongst us, because he loves seeing us kill one another. He loves it. Now, folks, there's a time that God might lead his people into battle. Okay? I remember the master said, to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he grabbed the sword to protect Christ and he cut an ear off. He said, those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. And what he was saying, Peter's first instinct was the old way. Okay? Our first instinct is God. Okay, God, what do you want us to do? Jesus himself said, hey, listen, take a sword with you. Now, that's twofold. The sword is a physical sword. We have the right to defend ourselves, if need be. But also the spiritual sword, which is the Word of God. I truly believe these days, if we spent more time speaking out the Word of God, speaking out what He wants to do, what He says He'll do, and not complaining and destroying and cussing out other people who offend us because of our nation, we'll see the mighty things of God taking place. Not my will, Father, but yours. Daniel, I have a couple of scriptures I want to go to today, but everybody remember Daniel? Okay. Look what he did. I mean, Daniel loved the Lord. He was taken captive. He was taken captive. But you know what? He honored those in authority over him. Didn't approve of them, but honored them. And the next thing you know, you find Daniel and his three little buddies being raised up in statue. They're still or slaves, but you find Daniel now being second in command, in charge of all the other governors. And the three little guys with me, Meshach, help me out. Yeah, I can't say the proper name, but yes. And the last one is always to bed we go. I know that one. So we take a second and we look at the three Hebrew boys loving God. I think it was it Nebuchadnezzar? I think, yep, thank you. Came out, built this fantastic replica of himself. Said, listen, I'm going to play the flute. And all these musical instruments, you're going to bow down and worship it. If you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Now, God says for us to obey man's law unless in conflict with God's law, right? And God says, you shall have not any other gods before me. So, they blew the horn, everybody bowed down, and we're talking about governors, everybody. I can't think of the fancy names for it, but those in charge of penalties and they put you in prison, all bowed down to this thing. Except for these three guys, man, who love God. And Nebuchadnezzar came to him because he had them in places of power in his kingdom. Hey, listen, man, we'll do it one more time. What I've written. When that music plays, you better bow down. Because if you don't, man, you're going out fire. Otherwise, hey, man, listen, help me keep faith among all these people, okay? Just bow down, okay? They refuse to do it. Now, what would be going through your mind as they come to you and never go, hey, listen, fire that furnace. Get it seven times hotter than before. God? Woohoo! And Nebuchadnezzar, this thing really gets me. I think he was frightened because you read in the scriptures, he came and bound them. He tied them, his coats, all together. I think the reason was, them three boys, they would have walked right in. Can you imagine? But that would insult your power. It's one thing to resist. Yeah, no. People are all looking at what they're doing. But man, it's okay. They listen, God has the power to deliver me, they say. But even if he doesn't, I shall not bow down to you. Wow. Into the furnace they go. So hot when they open the doors up, the guards that escort them over are killed. course, he bound them. There they are. No doubt that door opened up. They're waiting for their God moment, ain't they? All right, God. You think they trust God? You think they truly believe God is who God said He is? You think they love God? Can you imagine how much time they probably spent with God talking to Him? They knew God. If some of you folks right here today would trust me. Amen? A couple. Some of you guys might not because you don't know me yet, right? How are you going to get to know me? Hang out with me. Okay? And you might really not know. But I'm saying, if you're having a tough time really finding that peace in your life, hang out more with God. Into the Scriptures. See what He's done in the past. He's not a God that treats you any different. He treats me through our faith. But He threw him in. And man, this guy, this evil guy, he wants everybody to worship him. Looks in. Hey, man, didn't we put three people in there? Yeah. On my lands, there's three in there, and the fourth one's marching around with them. And he looks like a son of God. Open it up! Open it up! Opened the door, brought them out. And what meant to destroy them delivered them. Wow, man. I mean, the Scripture said they didn't even stink. They didn't smell like smoke. Then He said this. The God of Israel, the true God, you're not speak against their God. I'm paraphrasing it. You see what glory those three brought to God, to the nations? God, Nebuchadnezzar, speak and say, hey, listen, don't mess up. Honor their God. Don't speak against their God. Wow. How many lives out of his control were open that day? Man, we've been bound down this false god forever. I've been praying this piece of wood forever. Nothing ever happened. And that God delivered them? That's a true God. How many lives were changed that day because of these three guys? How many lives today can be changed by our life honoring God? You know, I don't know. I'm not God, but if them boys are kicking and screaming, no, God might have just brought them home. I mean, if your faith is that weak in me, I'm going to ahead and bring you home. But they stood on the Word of God. Wow. And one other one, let's go back to Daniel for a second. Daniel, now he's in charge of all the governors, everybody, except for the king. I mean, this time we got King Darius. Am I correct? Yeah. Sweet guy. But Daniel would pray to God three times a day. And again, he's a slave taken to custody, but now he's in charge of the other people who are part of that countryside. And they didn't like that. There we go somewhere, been there for years. The next thing you know, they bring somebody in younger. Not even part of your company, and they put you in charge of you. Ever been there before? Have a supervisor promoted? It should have been you. I've been there before. To make you happy? No. Probably not. In the long run, look back as a Christian now, best thing ever happened. I wasn't quite ready yet. My ego was ready, but I wasn't. So that's where we find Daniel. In charge, and the guys don't like him. So they come and they try to figure out a way to get him in trouble. But the Scripture says that they examined Daniel could find not one thing false with them. Kind of mind your Jesus in a way. So I ask ourselves today as we continue this, if someone looks at your life today as we stand for the Lord, they want some reason to put you in jail, some reason to have you arrested because you're going against the tide today. Could they find anything other than loving Jesus? Could he find, well, spoke this, spoke that? Couldn't find a thing, so they had to go after what he, the one thing that Daniel had, relationship with God. And they drafted this law up, and Darius, King Darius, approved it. If any man, would worship any other god for the next 30 days, they would throw in the lion's den. Now, if that law passed here today, and say, listen guys, new administration, next 30 days, nobody can go to church, you're not allowed to go to church, you got to stay home. What would you do? You don't have to answer it. Basically, that's what they told Daniel. His church was in his house. Man, that's my God. I mean, never said anything nasty about the king. Never said, oh, you tell me what to do. I'm telling you what. You want to take me on? Come on, man. You know my God? Okay, man. You pass your laws, but I'm worshiping my God. He did that. He got arrested. And it broke Darius's heart. But the law that he passed is going to destroy the one that he thinks so much of. Wouldn't it be great to love Jesus so much and other people that even your enemy gets saddened when you get arrested? Wow. But they brought Daniel to put him into the lion's den. And nowhere in Scripture do I see Daniel screaming at Darius, I tell you, my friend! I don't see anything in the Scripture where he's saying against the guards. Hey, why? Who was he honoring? God? Who did he believe in? Who is never going to waver from? Did he do anything wrong in the eyes of God? No. Put him in the lion's den. And Darius' heart was heavy. He couldn't do nothing about it. Put him in the lion's den. All night long, it says, Darius, man, he was at home fasting and just, ah. Next morning, he runs to the lion's den. Daniel, has your God delivered you? He says, all King Darius live forever. Oh, King Darius, live forever. My God has sent angels and closed the mouths of the lions. To Daniel, hey, you hairbag, I made it through. You messing my God? I'm going to tell you, no. Brought him out. And those who want evil against him, the man and the wives and children, all the was thrown into the lion's den. The scripture said before they even hit the ground, it was torn apart. Wow. Think of that. Again, hey, the God of Daniel is the God. True God, don't speak against him. See how, but some folks might think, man, it was over with. Daniel didn't know how he was going to do it, but there was a God factor coming his way. The three Hebrew boys, there was a God factor coming their way. As God works through this, and he honors his word, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Well, how is it going to turn out? We know how it's going to turn out. Let's not give God an excuse. It's okay, guys. You want to do it your own way again? I mean, we find out once across the Red Sea what happened. 11-day journey to the Promised Land took them 40 years because they removed the God factor and they didn't listen to God. And God's word is true. But it has to be true in our understanding and true when we don't understand. Stay focused on Him and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. And truly, ask God to give you a heart. Give you His heart that you can actually, not just lip service for Joe Biden or Nancy or who's the other lady? Harris. I mean, truly, to have a heart to pray for their eyes to be opened. Because what has taken place, I mean, they're headed to hell. And Satan's rejoicing over that. And he wants you to destroy them. He don't care about them. They get wiped out today, he'll replace them. Because evil is clear around the world, and we have been chosen to live at this time with the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, to interfere the enemy and to bring light into darkness, to deliver those from captivities, to set them free in the name of Yeshua. And don't ever say it's impossible. We need to say, focus on the Master. And let Him work through us. God's way. Pray for those in authority, he says. And may we remember to do that. That way God's will be done. And if you have more stuff coming into your ears and your eyes that's contrary to the Word of God, what He wants us to do, turn it out. Don't let propaganda come in there. I mean, there's so much propaganda out there, guys. I mean, how many times was the Capitol building already invaded? You know, how many times aliens took over already? I mean, it's all out there. Trying to play on you. Trying to get you the Word of God. Honor Him. And let God do it. Man, there's a great revival. I feel like I said earlier, we're here. We got Dew Point above us. We got the Spirit of God is moving. And let Him have a great, great, great harvest. Amen. Praise God. Any questions about today? Comments? Okay. Be encouraged. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Savior and Lord, man, I would love to talk to you after the service. I'd like to share more to you what it means to be forgiven of our sins. The Bible says everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. He's born in sin, born in sin nature. So in reality, your sin isn't really your fault, as is your nature. But to stay in your sin is our fault. God offers us deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we'd love to get with you and share more about that. If you're busy today, well, you can make an appointment with me. But just keep your eyes on the Lord and just watch what He does. And if you're going to do what I do, go ahead. God will laugh at you. Tell God what to do. I don't tell Him. I just suggest to Him. Oh, never mind. I was going to say, God said, no, here, hold my beer. But God doesn't say that. It's more like, God, is this how you're going to do this? I love the Lord that you can talk to Him that way, you know. And when you see His hand move, oh, wow. Because God, I got to remember, even our enemies, you do not want to see them perish. They might, but they can't blame Him for it. So, amen. Praise God.